This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Come on, everybody. Clap your hands. Oh, you're looking good. I'm going to sing my song. It won't take long. We're going to do the twist, and it goes like this. Come on, let's twist again. Like we did last summer. Yeah, let's twist again. Like we did last year.
Should have seen Ed and I twisting around the room. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy. And along with my buddy, he's down with a little bit of a cold this morning, Big Ed Davis. We thank you very much for joining us. It is Friday, September the 22nd. This is the first full day of fall, believe it or not. We got a lot going on. Oh, boy. We're going to be talking in a few minutes with Neville Kramer. He is a security consultant and a former border agent on our southern border. We're going to talk about the overwhelming migrant crisis in and around Eagle Pass, Texas. Neville was stationed there. So stay tuned for that, just a few minutes. And President Biden continues to be our country's biggest gaffe machine. He made three biggies this week. We're going to talk about it. Stay tuned for that. And this is very depressing. 40% of Baltimore high schools had zero students with any math proficiency. I'm going to say that again. 40% of the high schools in Baltimore had zero students with any math proficiency. How does that work? What is going on? We're going to talk about it. And in our ultimate top 10, we think we've got a pretty interesting one for you. Way things are going on. The top 10 cities with the most murders so far this year in 2023. Stay tuned for that as well. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored by two great companies. First is Andrew's Master Barbershop. It is the best barbershop in Tampa Bay for my money, for men, to get a great haircut. You get a great haircut at a great price. You get it all. And you get great conversation. They're in Dunedin. In the Overcash Plaza. Call for your appointment, please. 727-733-3773. And Arborlife Tree Service. I've used Arborlife Tree Service. I had to take down two trees on my property. They did it so well with the right equipment, and so at the cost was better than any I could have found. Arborlife Tree Service, whether it's tree enhancement or tree removal, call for an estimate, 727-330-1999. So this just broke on the, as they say, on the wires. Democratic New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez is being charged with bribery in a federal indictment out of the Southern District of New York. It will be unsealed today. Around 11 o'clock, in about 50 minutes, they will announce the unsealing of the indictment, charging he and his wife with bribery in connection with their so-called corrupt relationship with three New Jersey business people. Now, corruption in New Jersey, I didn't know that there was ever any corruption in New Jersey. I always thought New Jersey had no corruption. Ed, you used to live in New York. Did you ever hear of any corruption in the state of New Jersey?
God, no. But I mean, at least they're a team. It's husband and wife.
Yeah, we shouldn't be making light of it because it's pretty sad, actually. Apparently, the FBI and IRS criminal investigators attempting to determine if Menendez or his wife had taken up to $400,000 worth of gold bars from a New Jersey developer and a former bank chairman, or this guy's associates in a swap for reaching out to the Justice Department to help out with banking crimes. So they're actually handing him gold bars? Where do you hide gold bars? Do you put them under your bed? I don't know where I would... If I had gold bars...
You can't even stick them in your pockets, you know?
Yeah, you might be...
Pants would come running down.
You would try running with a couple of gold bars in your pants. Now, that would be something to see.
What does a gold bar weigh these days?
A lot. I'm thinking it's about the size of, what, a large brick?
Yeah.
And they're gold, of course. You know, I saw a special one time on Fortnite. Actually, there's always been this conspiracy theory that there's really no gold bars in Fort Knox. Anyway, they let people in, and indeed there were gold bars. They're very heavy, and that would be a good question. We could maybe Google that and find out. In the meantime,
27 pounds. I'm sorry. No, wait.
Wow.
Hold on.
Well, wait. They're heavy. You don't want to drop it on your foot. You know?
Yeah, I was right, 27 and a half pounds.
Wow, that's heavy.
Per bar.
That's a heavy, you know, you put two bars in your pants, yeah, you got 54 pounds of gold in your pants. Well, we'll have to follow that story on Menendez. You know, he's been around for a long time. And unfortunately, you know, the longer you're in Congress, quite frankly, the more prone you are to be tempted in things like this. In the meantime... we are seeing all kinds of trouble, as you know, at the southern border. And there was an interesting, you know, our friend, we got to give her a nickname, Ed. Corinne Jean-Pierre.
John Paul Jones.
Okay, we'll call her John Paul Jones. John Paul Jones, the White House press secretary, lashed out at the Fox correspondent Peter Doocy over a question on the border yesterday. Ultimately, she shut him down from asking the question. She just didn't want to hear it.
Put him in the back of the room with a dunce cap on.
Yeah, came during a White House press briefing. Doocy confronted Jean-Pierre, or John Paul Jones, over that border situation in Texas, which is seeing 10,000 illegal crossings in a single day. So he brought that up. She didn't want to hear much about it. So his question was, so what do you call it here at the White House when 10,000 people illegally cross the border in a single day? And she turned, John Paul Jones turned on Peter, and she said, so what do you call it, Peter, when the GOP put forth a, and then he starts to talk, and she goes, wait, no, you can't, and then you're answering my questions with a question, Doocy said. And she said, okay, that's it, we're going to move on, no, I'm not going to take another, you know, and she shut him down. The funny thing was, the next person that she called on continued the conversation on the...
I'd like you to answer Peter's question.
Yeah, pretty much, that's what it was. You know, they don't want to talk about it. This is going to bring down Joe Biden. This will bring him down.
Yeah, I think Joe Biden.
Well, he'll bring himself down. But I'm telling you that this border situation, what is going on, particularly in Texas, I think is the death knell for the Democrats for any chances in 2024. I really do. I think this border crossing thing has gotten to such a point. We're going to be talking about it here. We're going to take our break, and Neville Kramer, a former former border agent, he is a security consultant. He's going to join us. We're going to talk about what's going on at the southern border in Texas.
That little town flirt, you're falling for her.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons. and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA-certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Back Freedom Works. It's Friday. TGIF. So this is, I was watching this yesterday, and it really angered me. A group of more than 2,000 migrants crossed near Eagle Pass, Texas. This is one of the largest single, I mean, all at once. It's one of the largest single groups ever recorded. According to the Customs and Border Patrol, they call it CPB, data, border officials encountered more than 7,500 migrants on Sunday alone. Think about that. 7,500, including 1,800 in the Rio Grande Valley, Texas area, 1,600 in Del Rio, Texas, 1,500 in Tucson, Arizona, and more than 1,000 in El Paso, Texas. That number rose to more than 10,000 later in the week. I mean, this has gotten to the point where I don't know how people can turn their back on it. We're delighted to have our buddy, our good friend, and so knowledgeable, Neville Kramer, who, former INS agent, great security consultant. Neville, welcome back.
Hey, Paul, great to be on the show this morning, but can you give me about 2 seconds? I've got couple of gold bricks here I need to hide.
Yeah, you go ahead and here's what I would suggest. Don't hide them under your mattress, and I'll tell you why. If you go flying into bed, you might break your nose, okay? Especially if you go face first. Those things are heavy, 27 pounds each.
Yeah. By the way, Menendez, this is not his first trip around the bribery. he was indicted a few years ago, and they found him not guilty, but it was one of these, and then of course he claimed the whole thing was based upon him being Hispanic and that they were just going after him for that. But we'll see what he comes up with as an excuse.
Yeah, isn't that the first refuge of scoundrels? Oh, you're going after me for another reason. It has nothing to do with the charge. Nothing. I'm innocent. Oh, boy.
Right. And then, by the way, your statistics that you were giving about the number that are caught, you know, I'm always questionable. I served in the Border Patrol in Eagle Pass, and I'm always questionable. I question their statistics because you forgot to mention one of the new words that have now been produced. I think it came out in the Trump administration. It's called a gotaway.
Oh yes.
What is a gotaway? A gotaway is a way to manipulate the statistics when you either want more money or more manpower, et cetera, because they always throw in there, yes, and we had a 210,000 gotaways. Well, if you had them, then you got to count them. Then why are they gotaways?
Anyway, exactly. So, and nobody really knows how many illegal immigrants we have in this country. Nobody does. And like you say, for everyone that we know that came through, how many came through that we don't have any idea about? But I wanted to talk with you, Neville, in particular, because of course you were stationed, were you not, in Eagle Pass, Texas?
Yes. And I controlled that. It hasn't changed much. They cleaned up a few areas, along the border so that they could have the place to drive. But the Black Bridge there, we used to call it El Puente Negro, the Black Bridge, which is where the railroad cars come across. And the International Bridge is a new one, but it looks pretty much the same.
I don't see how any of these areas on the U.S. side are functioning anymore. Along the, I'm sure Arizona's got some of this, but particularly, you know, Eagle Pass and along the Texas border areas, how do they continue to function normally? Is it because these people that are pouring over just keep going further north?
They're not remaining there. They're being bussed out. And aside from the ones that are being bussed out, they're just letting them go and they're telling them leave because there's nothing here for you. So they do. They leave and they go to other parts of the United States. This is huge compared to anything we've seen before. And there are some consequences to this that the American public is going to swoop down on us, and they're going to wake up, hopefully.
You know, Neville, you and I have been talking about this stuff for over 10 years or so. You and I, we have been talking about this, and it's been getting worse. It's clearly, Biden and the Democrats, I mean, they've got to be encouraging this. They seem to think that pouring these people in here for some reason is going to help Democrats, I guess, but I don't think it really is. I think we are on the brink of people in this country, citizens in this country, doing something about it. I mean, you know, you can only sit and be slapped around for so long. Now, we're seeing, you know, some cities in the north, like New York, Boston, Chicago, a few others that are starting to say, what's going on here, in particular New York. But I think the people are so fed. Why are the Democrats so oblivious? I know they're not, but what is your take on why the Democrats allow this?
Well, I'm going to go back for immediately right now. The Democrats are in charge, and they're the ones that are causing the Biden administration is causing this. But let's take a look at it in a bigger picture. This has been going on for 50 years. Even the Reagan administration, Bush 1, Clinton, Bush 2, Obama, Trump, they've all, with the Congresses that were in place, they've all talk a lot about this, but they really don't do anything to fix it. And one of the problems is that everything is looking at the border. And I've told you before that the border is simply a symptom. The problem is really in the interior of the United States with the cheap labor and all the rest of it. But it's also in Mexico, because Mexico is the one that's allowing this to happen. And one thing I'd like you to take a quick look at when we're finished, I'd like anybody listening to take a look at, is there's a bill in front of Congress right now that was passed by the House. It's H.R. 2, and it's called the Border Act of 2023, and it apparently is this silver bullet that's going to fix everything, and it's absolutely enough to make you sick.
Really?
Okay, this is just, it's unbelievable what they're proposing and what they want to do with this report and that report and then all of the rest of stuff. They're not going after the problem. The major problem that we have right now is Mexico. And let's just focus on that for a minute. The cartels control all of the smuggling routes. The cartels control pretty much 75 to 80% of the government of Mexico. We lost 3,000 people in the 9/11 attacks, and we declared war basically on Afghanistan, etc. We lost 3,000 people in Pearl Harbor, and we declared war. We lost 100,000 people because of in the last year or so due to the fentanyl that's come across in this country, and we're not declaring war against anybody but ourselves.
No, you're right.
Okay, so let's take a look and see what's in this bill that is going to tell Mexico, you either knock it off and secure the border on your side, or we're going to do it ourselves, and we're going to do it covertly, okay, with our intelligence community activities, and we're going to do it overtly with military if we have to. But that's the only way that this is going to be stopped, because We're faced with an invasion.
Oh, we're talking with Neville Kramer, who knows more about the border situation than most everybody, except maybe the border agents that are currently been working there. But let me ask you about this. Are you talking about the northern Mexico border or both of Mexico's borders?
Both.
Okay, but we can't knock it off at the Mexico's southern border. We can knock it off at Mexico's northern border.
Well, yes, but remember I said covertly as well. Covertly.
Well, we can't do that, Neville. We can't.
No. I'm not saying go down. I'm saying covertly by quietly going to the administrations and the politicians of those countries that are south of Mexico and saying all of your aid is going to get cut off and we're going to begin to do things in this border area that, that you're not going to appreciate in your government. We've got to do that, Paul.
I think it's ultimately a war. Yeah, ultimately, but Neville, you and I disagree a little bit on certain things, I think. I think we've got to just build a damn wall, and I don't care about all of the other things. Build a damn wall, put some soldiers or some National Guard troops. I know National Guard is controlled by the states, and I understand, that the federal government oversees the border. So we got to put soldiers or whatever it takes along the border, all the way along the border, to keep people from coming in. And that's the first thing. You got to, before you do all these other things, you got to stem the blood that is spurting out of your arm, or you're going to die.
Well, what do you do with the people when you catch them in the state?
You throw them the hell out.
Well, yes, that's true. You throw them out, Neville.
You say, look. And you know who did that, by the way? And, of course, it was a different environment. Dwight Eisenhower.
Dwight Eisenhower did it
in 1954.
It was Operation Wetback.
Now, I don't know that you can get... I know that you're going to take a pipe hit if you try to do that now. But you know what? I think most Americans would say that's okay. I think most Americans are now fed up with all of these people that are illegal flowing across the border. And once they get across the border, it's like, ha-ha, now you can't do a damn thing to me, and I'm going to go look to get as many benefits and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And then, of course, they'll take jobs from Americans that would otherwise probably get the jobs. There is so much going on. So you got to close the damn border. You got to lock it tight. And then we can worry about doing all this other stuff to stem the flow, in my opinion. Your thought?
I don't think you can physically do it. I think it's great to say we have operational control of some areas. We disagree on this, but let's say, what about another issue? What about another issue? You're going to see right now where they're talking about this employment authorization. Before our time is up, Paul, just know that we have been granting under things like temporary protected status to millions of illegal immigrants, and we say it's temporary. It is not temporary.
True.
Once you give these people employment authorization in this country and they get a Social Security card,
you're right.
Then what's going to result is a tsunami, okay, of us giving away our entitlement benefits. And we all know that we've got $33 trillion in debt, and the vast majority of that debt is due to entitlement programs that are out of control. Well, if there's anything that's going to put our entitlement programs out of control, it's going to be 5 to 7 to 10 million new illegal aliens getting employment authorization, because they're going to access it through as soon as they're given employment authorization. So we just see that coming. But you're right. I don't know that it's the end of the Biden administration, but it's going to be hopefully.
I think it's the death knell for them. My buddy Ed, I think, has a thought or a question for you.
I just wanted to get Neville's opinion on this one, because there is another alternative that some of our wonderful lawmakers in certain states have come up with, that private citizens should take some of these people into their homes and shelter them into their homes and welcome them in. Don't bother the fact that we can't vet these people and find out who the hell they are or what they've been doing. Not to mention, once they're in a home, in your home, and they get one piece of mail mailed to them, by golly, they've got a right to be there, and you have to legally evict them to get them out.
You're right. By the way, notice something that the mayor of New York City and the governor of New York are asking for. They're not asking for immediate deportation. right? What are they asking for? They're asking for more money and more money and more money. Okay, that's what they want, is money to take care of these people. They're not, they don't want them removed from the country. So we're looking at a tsunami here.
No question. And by the way, New York Governor Kathy Hochul has seemingly changed her tune on this crisis, because yesterday during an interview on CNN, she said, quote, "If you're going to leave your country, go somewhere else," unquote. She says, "We have to let the word out that when you come to New York, you're not going to have more hotel rooms. We don't have capacity, so we have to also message properly." She said, "The smarter thing is to apply for asylum before you leave your country."
Can't do that.
So she is shifting her thoughts on this, but she's feeling the heat. That's why she's saying it. She's feeling the heat. So is mayor of New York City. It's the same thing. Now he's starting to point the finger at the Biden administration, saying, "Well, we need your help." Well, again, you know, you gotta, before you can do anything else, somebody gets hit on the side of the road, they're bleeding, you gotta apply a tourniquet. And the tourniquet, in my humble opinion, is to, as much as possible, shuffle down there as many soldiers as you can, start building that wall as best you can, and at least slow this down. You're right. You'll never completely slow or stop it. And the cartels, et cetera, they know all the tricks. But you got to do something, because it is now, it's worse than out of control. It's a hemorrhage.
You're absolutely right. By the way, one last thing about the governor. You see, you can't apply for asylum when you're outside the country. So just the fact that she said that, Paul, shows you that she's a politician that doesn't know what she's talking about.
But Neville, you can go to the U.S. Embassy, wherever you are, whatever country, and apply for asylum through that embassy, the U.S. Embassy.
You apply for refugee status. But you can apply for asylum status at
an embassy.
No, in the United States.
Oh, you have to physically be in the United States to apply for asylum?
Yes.
Well, what the hell good is that? Why? How does that work? I don't understand how you apply for asylum when you're already in the country. I don't understand the rule.
Refugee status is for people outside the country, and asylum means that you have a well-founded fear. Yeah, that's all. I'll explain it another time, Paul.
It just shows you
that people don't understand the
law. And you're right.
Part.
I see what you mean. A refugee could go to the U.S. Embassy, let's say in Guatemala or Mexico, and apply for refugee status, and then when you get it, when you cross the border, you go, it's sort of like, you call out, sanctuary?
No. When they're refugees, they're processed overseas. No.
When you apply for asylum status, you're already in our country. I'm just saying. Then you scream out, sanctuary, I want to stay here.
Yes. Well-founded fear of persecution, and they have to give you a hearing in front of a judge.
Yeah.
Well, very few of them have a well-founded fear of persecution, but they've just broken down the entire immigration system. The law is just not being enforced. That's all it boils down.
Neville, and we've gone over a little bit, but this is so important. Do you think we're going to get anywhere? What is it going to take? I know you've got ideas, and you've got some great ones. We've talked about them. But what is it going to take to actually get them into effect? Is some huge thing got to occur before we actually do this?
Yes. Something huge has to occur, otherwise this is just going to continue. The Democrats have no desire to fix it, neither do the Republicans, actually. This border law isn't going to do anything. It's no silver bullet. This is multifaceted. It's got about 15 different things have to happen at the same time. We don't have the people knowledgeable enough in Congress to do what's right, and they're going to fix it with a patch here and a patch there, and it doesn't work. It's been going on for 50 years, Paul.
So you don't think there's any presidential candidate that, if he got elected or she got elected, would be able to stem the flow of this crisis?
No.
Not at all.
Yes, they could stem the flow if they would go to the Mexican border, yes.
Mm-hmm.
If they would stop what's going on at the Mexican border, you would stop a significant amount of it. But you have to take draconian activity to get that done.
Wasn't Trump trying to do that with a president of Mexico? Wasn't he working on that?
No. Trump's Trump's activities is basically build the wall, which is a bumper sticker solution.
Yeah, but he was was he not working with that Mexican president? Because I remember
returned to Mexico.
Yeah, I mean, for a while, Mexico was somehow got involved. I mean, I think we pulled the funding, and we tell Mexico there's no money coming to you till we get this resolved. But I thought he had Trump had started working with the president of Mexico, and that Mexico was actually helping stem the flow for a while. Am I wrong about that?
Paul, you have to wipe out the cartel. You have to wipe them out.
And that's where Mexico can help, right?
Well, they won't.
They won't. But if they, we keep going back. But you're saying that we've got to enlist Mexico, correct, to help stem this problem? Do we not?
I like your word enlist, but mine's a little different than that.
All right, you're saying that
we
can't trust the Mexicans because it's too corrupt, is what you're saying?
Yeah, correct.
Okay. All right, Neville, always a pleasure.
Paul. Absolutely. I love it, Paul. Thanks very much for the invitation. Look forward to doing it again.
We'll be doing
anytime. Very serious issue, Paul and Ed, and we just hope, keep our fingers crossed that Congress does the right thing, but I don't think they're going to.
And by the way, I do not want you to take any more mulligans in your golf. I've been hearing you got to
change the name.
What?
To McCarthy now.
McCarthy is? Oh, is that what they are? All right.
Yeah, of course.
McCarthy. All right. Thanks very much, Neville. Paul. All right.
You bet. Have a great day, guys.
You too.
Bye.
Neville Kramer. All right. Take our break. When we come back, we got a lot more. Did you hear about Biden's having fun? Three major gaffes this past week. We're going to talk about it.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Our Freedom Works radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arborlife Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arborlife Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
And you know, it is the first day of fall. It does feel good. You know, I take a little walk every morning, and I was wandering along outside, and it really was feeling much, much better. We've had a very hot summer, Ed, and it's getting it's nice to get into the fall.
Well, these next few days, we've got lower humidity, so
yes,
we're going to feel that. And I think the high temperatures for tomorrow and Sunday are only like 86 and 87, so...
Okay.
A break.
And that's a little bit of a break for us.
And the drier weather, so.
Yeah, I hope it helps your cold, because you're battling a little.
Yeah.
So, Biden, he goes before the Congressional Hispanic Caucus yesterday, and he immediately compliments the merits of the Congressional Black Caucus during his speech. He didn't even realize it. Now, you know, he's 80 years old now. He made the mishap during a speech at the Congressional Hispanic Caucus Institute's 46th annual gala in Washington, and they celebrated a recipient of the award there, a sister, Norma Pimentel. She's the executive director of Catholic Charities. Well, must be a wonderful woman at the Rio Grande Valley. So Biden says, I know Sister Norma lives the lessons nuns taught me growing up. Lessons based on the Gospel of Matthew. Feed the hungry, care for the sick, welcome strangers. They echo what my dad taught me, and I mean this sincerely. My dad used to say, everyone is entitled to be treated with dignity and respect. The Congressional Black Caucus embodies all of those values. Now, that would have been great if he was talking to the Congressional Black Caucus, but he was not. He was talking to the Congressional Hispanic.
That's when everybody kind of looks at each other. You know?
Now, that took place the day after he forgot to shake the hand of the president of Brazil before leaving a joint press conference. He shook the hand of another guy, and the president of Brazil went, you know, to shake his hand, and Biden turned around and walked away. Maybe he doesn't like Hispanics these days.
Didn't he also tell a story and then five minutes later tell the same story again?
That's the other thing. That's the third thing. Biden lit up the social media after a pool report from Wednesday, Wednesday night, said he told the same story at a fundraiser just minutes apart, nearly word for word, as a matter of fact. The report stated, after briefly touting his economic record, Biden reflected on his decision to seek the presidency. He told a story about the events of Charlottesville in 2017 as the reason for his campaign. A few minutes later, he told the story again, nearly word for word. Well, let's give him some credit. He's able to remember the story if he was able to repeat it word for word.
Or somebody goofed and put it on the teleprompter again.
Well, that could have been.
I would just want to get on that keyboard and type in and see if he does it.
Why? I think I would type in, by the way, I'm guilty of bribery, and I will immediately surrender myself and my wife at the front gates of Leavenworth. I wonder if he would read that. By the way, we've got the master barber himself, Andrew Sorese, joining us. And I know that, Andrew, there's so much going on. I don't know where to start. We could talk about the presidential campaign. We could talk about Biden's gaffes. We could talk about the southern border. Let's talk about your haircutting business. Is all of this trouble in this country making people's hair grow quicker?
No, it's making them lose it.
Yeah, you're probably right. How are you?
It's making them lose it, Paul.
How are you, by the way? You doing well?
I'm living the dream.
So what is going on here? What should we talk about?
Well, here. Let's start out with Mr. Menendez, the Democrat senator who just got popped, him and his wife.
He did?
For $400,000 bribery.
Yeah, they're stealing gold bars. He's getting gold bars.
Gold bars, yes, yes.
Well, I'll say one thing. I think I'd rather be paid in gold bars. At least I know that there would be some value to it rather than currency.
Right. That's right. But, you know, look at what the Democrats are doing here, Paul. This is not his first rodeo.
No, it's not.
He keeps getting off, you know?
That's true.
Well, now we can... Everything that they're accusing Mr. Trump of, or President Trump, is what they're doing.
Oh, there's no question about it. Look what our friend, I can't even think of her name now, Nancy Pelosi's husband and she have been sneaking around selling and buying stocks before anybody else knows about what's going on in the stock market.
Well, she said she wants to get reelected so she could raise more money. But she didn't mean it was for herself, you know?
Yeah.
Didn't know it was for herself. But, Paul, it's a mess of what we see going on. And, you said Joe Biden was 80 years old. Well, he's 80 going on 95. There's a difference. I see a lot of 80-year-old men that got it on the ball.
Yeah, I'll give you one right off the bat, and that is Keith Richards. Or not Keith Richards. What's his... I'm going to get there.
Mick Jagger.
Mick Jagger. He's 80 years old.
That's right.
Put those two in the same room together, and you would wonder, how could one person be that active and the other person not know where he is?
Well, they'd have to ask Hunter Biden about that one.
That's true, too. Yeah, I mean, I honestly don't, and I want your opinion on this, I honestly don't think, I'm almost convinced for sure that Biden will not seek re-election. I'm not sure he's going to make it to the end of this term.
No, like you said, did you see the expression? and the hand gesture that the Brazilian president gave Biden when he walked off the stage. He's like, you know.
This guy doesn't know what he's. Yeah. He's,
right.
He's going, oh, for God's sake.
What I want to know is the crown prince the other day. Yeah, he was visiting, talking with Biden or whatever, and they interviewed him, and he said, oh, Biden's got it all together. He knows everything that's going on. What's going on with the Saudis with Biden?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, what is he going to say about Biden? We're buying all of their oil and gas because Biden is shutting down our pipelines and stopping the fracking and stopping our drilling. And
right. I mean, everything.
Of course he's going to say, what's he going to say? Biden is a complete idiot? He's buying our dirty oil and Venezuela's?
Well, you know what else I want to see, too, Bob? I was saying Venezuela. Where was it they had those mass floods? Wasn't that Venezuela? It was Libya, wasn't it?
Oh, yes. I think that terrible, all those thousands of people.
Yeah,
I think it might have been Libya.
Libya, yeah. We don't get no oil from them, do we?
You know, we could, because Libya should excuse me. Isn't Libya, excuse me, much like Saudi Arabia with their
oil?
Yeah, I would think so.
I was wondering about that, because with all that flooding, you know, they had to close up their refineries.
Yes, I would suspect. I mean, it's not just the fact that we are not drilling as much as we can that's causing us to have,
they're trying to cut it right out.
There's all kinds of things going on, yes.
Well, that's where President Trump next. I pray to God that the automobile strike goes on for another 7-8 days.
Hey, I got some news on that front. The UAW and their strike against the Big Three could heat up today, as the union plans to announce its next moves in the absence of a new contract agreement. See, here's the thing. They decided to take a few plants in each of the three car companies and shut them down. And they're going to move forward and spend.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Because Trump will be there, what, 6 days? 6 more days to the second primary for the Republicans? Let me tell you something. Trump is going to have a rally in Michigan, you won't believe.
That'll be Thursday of next week, I believe.
It's Wednesday or Thursday.
Yeah, it's going to be Thursday. I think, like you say, 6 days from today, when they have the next presidential debate.
And let me tell you what everybody's going to be watching that night.
Well, I think a lot of people are going to be watching that presidential debate. But they also, yes, I agree. If he's being covered, Trump too, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it'll be on somewhere, believe me. Him, and I guarantee you, he will rally the auto workers. Because he's going to come right on and tell them, listen, you could strike all you want. They don't care. They're trying to move the EV vehicles. China's producing all the parts for them. They're going to put plants over there. You people are going to be out of work, period. You don't have to worry about a contract.
Now, let me ask you something here, Andrew, and I'm not sure that you and I agree on this, but I'm going to ask you anyway. Donald Trump is a big spender. He's not a conservative. He's a populist. He does not mind. You know, our national debt has now hit $33 trillion. I know nobody cares about it. Nobody cares about it because the value of our dollar hasn't totally collapsed yet. But when it does, we will. So here's my question. Do you think that Donald Trump could ever be conservative when it comes to trying to hold down the cost of our government, ever?
Let me tell you like this, Paul. When Donald Trump was president, this country made money, right?
And spent it.
Now, as long as you're making it and spending it and paying off a little bit, you can work it out. But when you're not making it and spending it, you got a problem.
But he also was spending more than we were taking in.
Well, that's because we were just starting to get it rolling. Well, you know, if we'd had another term, we would have been really
Andrew,
kicking butt by now.
He's a big-time spender. He's a populist. And I think he did a great deal for our country. I mean, the guy was more active than a guy that normally in his 30s would do. That's how active he was. And I credit him for that. I really do. But he is a populist. He does spend a lot of money. I'm wondering if he becomes our president again with our $33 trillion debt, do you think he would maybe take a look at our situation and try to cut some of this wasteful spending?
Of course he would. He'd cut all kinds of wasteful spending. We got all kinds of wasteful spending going on.
Yeah.
You're going to have to cut it, but he's also going to bring industry back here. You know, you have to produce a product, Paul. We all can't be in the service industry.
True.
Okay?
Yeah.
What do we produce now? We produce nothing.
No, you're right.
Say, If they get these EV cars away, they want China's going to prosper like no tomorrow. And what's going to happen with us? And now another thing, you guys were talking about the illegal immigration. Now I'm totally against the illegal immigration, but the problem we have in this country is our young people don't like to do the work that these immigrants do.
Well, that's okay. Because they've gotten used to the immigrants doing the work.
Exactly. And if somebody's going to have to do it.
Well, if the immigrants weren't here, Americans would do the work.
Well, I would hope they would.
Well, they'd have to, and they would.
Well, I'm hoping
the
they
more
would.
Illegals. If we've got, let's say we've got 12 million illegal immigrants, whatever the number is, it's going to be around 12 million, I would guess.
Of course, okay. That's crazy.
12 million illegal immigrants are working, or a goodly portion of them are working. That means that there are some 12 million non-illegal immigrants that aren't working those jobs.
That's right. No, we're going to have to teach our young people to get off their butts, buddy. I'm telling you that right now.
Absolutely right.
And that's not an easy task. I got news for you.
Absolutely right.
I mean, I've seen, look at the roofers around here, not for nothing. How many young Americans you see up putting a roof up?
No, they're not.
Zolts, they're not.
You're absolutely right about it.
I mean, that's the thing. Our kids don't care because they give them money to sit on their rear ends now.
Yeah.
You get the single mothers, the more kids they have, the more they give them. You know what I'm saying? They got no ambition to get off their rear end.
Well, I'll tell you the best ambition. It's like my friend used to say, I like the welfare system in Mexico. I said, really? Do they have a welfare system there?
No.
He said, no.
Right. Yeah, well, I agree with you 100%. But that's a problem we face,
I know.
Getting these young people off their rear ends.
You're
buddy.
Right about it.
It is not easy.
Andrew, thank you so much, buddy. It's always a pleasure to talk with you. And I hope your weekend is great, and we'll be talking again next week.
You guys take care.
All right, you do the same. All right. There he goes, Master Barber, Andrew Ceresi. Let's take our final break. When we come back, the top 10 cities with the most murders so far in 2023.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
Our Freedom Works radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back. Just a few minutes left. Let's real quickly, I promised you I'd talk about this story. Project Baltimore has found that 40% of Baltimore City high schools did not have one student score proficient in mathematics. Not one student. 40% of their high schools. That is educational homicide. In fact, that's the word that Jason Rodriguez, the deputy director of People Empowered by the Struggle, which is a Baltimore nonprofit, called it. So that's just, and if it's happening in Baltimore, it's happening in a lot of other major cities as well. That's what I wanted to say about that. Real quickly, Ed, anything in sports we need to know? Or shall we just I'm not sure you heard me. Did you hear me?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Not sorry. I was going to say anything in sports that,
oh,
we,
yeah,
that we need to know real quickly.
Rays took 2 out of 3 from,
Baltimore?
No.
Yankees?
Angels.
Oh.
Here at home.
Okay.
Baltimore managed to lose a game, so they're 1.5 games behind.
They're 1.5 behind. All right. And who did the Bucks?
Left.
I'm sorry?
8 games left. Bucks don't play on Monday night. Eagles
on Monday night.
In town.
Got it. All right. Here's our top 10. These are the top 10 cities with the most murders in 2023. Now, this comes, by the way, I pulled it out of, this is as of, by the way, June the 9th of this year. So it's not right up to date to this day. But as of June the 9th, here are the top 10 cities with the most murders in our country. All right. Here we go. Number 10. It's actually a tie for 9th. Kansas City, Missouri, and Indianapolis, Indiana are tied with 96 murders so far this year, okay? All right. So that leads to number 8. New York City is 8th. The largest city is not the first with the murders. They're 8th with exactly 100.
Not sure they want to hang their hat on that, but...
No. I wouldn't either. No, you're right about that. Number 7. The second largest city is number 7, Los Angeles. Through June the 9th, they had 102 murders. Number 6, Houston, which is the fourth largest city, had 109 murders. Number 5, well, Baltimore is not only bad in high school proficiency, they're also bad in murders.
That's who I was thinking, Baltimore.
Baltimore's got 112 murders through June the 9th so far this year. Number 4, Dallas. Big city, Dallas. 126 murders in Dallas. Number 3, this one surprised me a little bit. I don't know why, but Phoenix is number 3. They have 137 murders in Phoenix. Must be because of the hot weather.
Yeah.
Number 2, Philadelphia. 165 murders.
Yeah, I heard they got a bad homeless problem there, too.
Oh, they do.
Yeah.
All right, Ed.
Well,
were you listening? Who do you think is the number 1 city with the most murders so far?
Go Chicago.
You got it.
Yeah.
It's actually only one more murder than Philadelphia, and it's a much bigger city. But Chicago is indeed number 1 with most murders, 166 murders.
See, the mayor's got something to run again on.
You know,
it's only one more.
I was rooting for the Bears in that game last Sunday when they played our beloved Buccaneers, because I'm from Chicago, and our stupid quarterback threw a pass almost right to a buck, right near the goal line, our own goal line. What?
He's a young kid. He's very young.
Young. He's been there for a couple of years.
This is third year. Yeah.
By now, he should know not to do that. But that's the way the ball bounced. All right. Well, listen, thank you very much for listening. We will be back indeed this Monday. In the meantime, be good out there. Have a great weekend. And remember, freedom works. She's simply...